Welcome to Keith and the Girl. I'm Keith Malley.
I'm Chemda. Thanks for listening.
Dear Keith and Chemda, you don't mention your social media accounts. How do we read your diaries? Our Twitter and Facebooks, look up Keith and the Girl, and separately, we're Keith Malley and Chemda for both Twitter and Facebook. Today's guest is the director of the only black comedy festival in New York City. But all races may go and see it.
Correct, yeah.
Look at this, the Harlem Comedy Festival. Today's guest, Neruda Williams.
Yes, yes, sir.
Look at it. Now, let me spell that for people. Oh. N-E-R-U-D-A, and the da is pronounced tha, and that's the joke, isn't it?
Sure.
That no one can get it right.
Yeah, I mean, well, people who read poetry pronounce it right because they're fans of Pablo Neruda.
Okay.
But
what was his greatest poem?
What was his greatest poem? I don't know.
Which one gets the ladies going?
Oh, man. There is, 25 love sonnets about fruit, I believe it is.
You should look this up because it's your name.
I mean, I've read a bunch of it, but yeah, I don't know any of it by heart.
Okay.
That's not fair when you're given, you know, a name that's different than the country that you actually live in, and then all of a sudden you have to do all your homework, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because like people ask me where Chemda comes from and what it means, and I'm just like, can you ask my parents?
Yeah.
I don't want this. My name is Kimberly, and let's move forward.
I don't see why you wouldn't want to know. I know all the works of Keith Partridge.
I have no idea who that is.
Well, I'll school you later.
You know what gets to me? Like, for example, when I hear the name Keith now on a show, I'm just like, wow, I wonder if Keith feels a certain way when he hears Keith on a show. But then I hear it like on Family Guy, and they go, we can all agree that Keith is the worst name. And I'm like, wonder how that feels, you know? Because they're never going to be like, you know, I knew a Chemda once, really didn't like her.
They were being silly, of course. They also make jokes about big, strong, virile men being the worst thing, etc. Well, let me tell you, I read an article about a man that apparently he was fucking a dumbbell.
Mm.
And he got his dick cut in the dumbbell to the point that at a gym he was doing this. Had to call the police, who then called the fire department, who used a saw to chop up the dumbbell and save his dick. It was an 8-hour ordeal. I swear, at hour 7, I'd be like, is this my new life now? I have a dumbbell cock ring. Dumbbell weighed 2.5 kilograms. It's about 5.5 pounds.
How do you fuck a dumbbell?
That's the whole time I'm trying to picture it. How do you do it?
Where are the holes to fuck?
Well, the hole is where the bar would go.
Oh, so he takes the bar out. Oh.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
When you have a set of weights, right? The weights are just a circular heavy piece, and then you have a bar so that you can lift them at various spaces.
Did he fuck the weights or the bar?
So he fucked the weights. So he took the bar out of the weights and then put his dick where the bar would go.
Or like, didn't put the weights on the already ready bar.
I see. So his dick was the bar and he was lifting weights like it was his dick. Like,
or, well, I'm going to guess it was sexual, believe it or not.
Yeah, I think he greased up the... This is all very interesting.
You know, if he greased it up, I'm going to call him a little smarter than I think you're giving him credit for.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm picturing there's no grease and that's where he went wrong.
I would have greased it up.
He's in Germany where they don't have lube or women. The poor guy had to use a dumbbell and the... Fire department used a grinder, a saw, emergency hydraulics.
That's horrifying.
Just that near your dick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
The fire department posted a photo of the dumbbell,
okay,
all broken into pieces, saying, please do not imitate such actions. They just wanted to laugh.
Oh, totally. Yeah. They're like, in case everyone's doing this and we get more calls, because it sounds like a brilliant idea.
You caught me just in time.
Oh, my God. So now
it got cut into 5 pieces. We'll put it on the website.
I just saw it. And the good news is your dick fits in it. And then, oops, you get more excited. And it looks like your dick is bigger than you thought. So there's the takeaway.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe.
Because how else would it get stuck? You know, if the tip of your dick gets through something, you figure the rest is going to be all right.
Yeah.
Unless, are there penises where the tip is smaller? There could be, right? Yeah, there is.
Maybe.
Okay, there is. Yeah.
Maybe.
Let me look through my catalog. Yeah. Yeah.
Man, those are the gross ones, but it's not my place to say, right?
Yeah. Hey, you know, that's kind of like a nice transition when your tip is smaller. You know what I mean?
No.
Like you start small and get bigger. That's kind of nice for whatever orifice you're putting it in.
Like a cone.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's kind of nice.
Yeah.
All right.
can get down with that.
I don't know.
So you take it, but you get it stuck in there, this cock ring of a weight.
Mm-hmm.
And then you take a picture of the front because it's engorged, right? Mm-hmm. And then you send that out and then you call the hospital.
Fair. Yes. Yes. That's a good sequence of events if you're already going to do dumb shit like that.
Yeah. I mean, look, I don't know. I'm kind of very like...
Before you judge, what's the weirdest thing you put your penis into? You're young, you don't know, you see the shampoo.
Sally.
I've put my penis in mostly soft things, though. Like a lot of liquids. I've tried a lot of different liquids on my dick.
What's a good one?
Ooh. I like olive oil, which is, yeah, but it gets everywhere and it ruins, like, whatever. Like, I ruined this chick's couch. We were, like, getting coked up and, you know, fucking around. Now we're all hype and crazy. And then I started masturbating on her couch with olive oil. And it just ruined the upholstery.
Damn.
And she was, you know.
Never mind, it doesn't wash off. It's probably still on you.
Well, I don't know. I don't think so.
Okay. But I would definitely be on you that night after a shower.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. And I have...
And when do you know you're ready? I think as soon as cornmeal can sizzle on it, right? Then it's ready to fuck.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. Right.
You know what, though?
When it starts to smoke. That's right. When the skill starts to smoke, that's when you're ready.
You're fucking the smoke alarm's going off.
Yeah, exactly.
You're using the right oil because that's the one that comes up to the least high temperature. So, yeah. You're really self-caring there.
I think so.
Trust me. Sure. Do not use peanut oil.
Ooh. I've used peanut oil.
Well, then you know. Then I'm preaching to the choir.
Yeah.
What's your thing with oils?
Usually it's like I want to see how different things feel, and I'm looking for something that's slick enough that, like, you know, it doesn't catch. And then the thing about regular lube is that I don't know if you guys know, but it dries and gets sticky at a certain point. Like, it's no longer slick anymore. So with oils, it kind of stays slick, but then, you know, there's obviously other, you know,
right,
side effects.
Do you know that the pussy is non-stick?
Yes, I am aware of this.
Okay,
all
right.
But sometimes you don't want to play with the pussy just yet. You know, sometimes you all just playing with each other, playing separately, doing what you do.
Is it only cooking oils or like a nice lemonade?
Coconut oil has to be, because you could put that everywhere.
I've used coconut oil. I've used various coconut and shea butters.
Did that work the best?
Yeah.
Because some of our young listeners probably need this information.
Yeah. I mean, if your mother has a nice shea butter in her hair supply closet, yeah, I think it's a good idea.
That's a good thick butter.
Butters, and then
greases. Do you talk to these women afterwards and about their infections, or do you never see them again?
No, I never see them again.
Okay.
Never see them
again. Do you use any food, since you already have the cooking oil?
Have I used food? No, I don't think I fucked any.
I would love to see the catalog of things he just went through to see if he... Like, food, nope. No. Did that count as food? Nope.
No foods.
No cantaloupes, no couches.
No cantaloupes.
I hear what goes on out there. It's disgusting.
I used a friend's fleshlight once.
I'd say it's just a handheld pussy, right?
Yeah, the handheld pussy.
Friends? Did you ask permission? No.
Yeah. No, you I did. I did.
How he did had that one. Go?
Oh, he was, you know, at first he was reluctant, but then I was like, dude, you know, I'll clean it. You know what I mean? And it'll be fine. And
you ever jerk off a guy?
No.
Never. Like, I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't even use a fleshlight.
Why?
Why wouldn't I?
I mean, I liked it. But
did it feel real? Did it feel like
you? It didn't feel real, no. But it did feel better than using both my hands. And sometimes I use both my hands when I masturbate.
Why?
It covers most of my dick.
Okay.
I don't want to brag, but me too.
No. I'm not. I'm just saying.
I use a friend's hand. I just won't use a fleshlight.
I think Keith wants me to jerk him off. Is that what you really want? Like, you could just come out and say it, and we could just get it over with.
Well, he's playing coy. Come on, be nice.
I know, right? I got to learn to flirt better.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it was.
And you give it back, and then you give this fleshlight back, and you go, "Thank you." It was. Do you say it was great?
I told him it was great, and then I went back to his house later, right? Because this was a guy that we used to hang out all the time and like fuck girls together and do all types of shit, right?
What's
right.
Fuck girls together?
I used to be really into like group sex and like orgies and stuff like that.
Are drugs involved in all that?
All of it.
Okay.
And this guy was just, I don't know, he was just like a guy that like, he had a nice place and he knew a lot of women. I knew a lot of women, and we were just cool together, right? It was like a, it's like a wrestling team.
Mm-hmm. I'll bet.
You know, and so, so yeah. So, but then I came back the like I don't know. Next time I went over there to hang out, and he had thrown it away.
Oh, he could have at least given it to you.
He could have, but I think he, you know, I think I can't remember exactly what the conversation was, but he, I think he was just like, you know what, I could never use it again.
Of course.
I used it after he used it.
Why don't you tap dicks hello? You know what I mean? That's too much though.
I don't know if it's too much. I mean, because we've double penetrated women before. So obviously I felt his penis before on my penis.
And does that throw you or is no. it's more
it
fun.
Feels great.
Can I ask you logistically?
Sure. Hold on.
Okay.
it feels great that you can feel his penis too.
So yeah, so whether you're doing it, so we've done it two different ways. One, he was going anally and I was vaginally. Uh-huh. So then you feel this like, it feels kind of like, you ever see some Inuits make a whaling boat out of like a seal skin?
Of course.
It kind of
every morning I watch that.
Well, I'm saying the skin stretches a little bit, so the inside of the woman's skin in between her ass and her vagina,
it's thin,
so you can feel both of you going in and out of her.
Oh, so you can actually feel the shape of his penis, like you can feel where his penis is, or at least it going up and down.
And then you can also feel that friction. Uh-huh. So it's like,
do you ask him to go faster?
Oh,
I didn't, but that's actually a good idea. Anybody who is doing that, you know, depending on how connected you are, that's a great idea.
Is anything about, and I'm a 2017 man, mm-hmm. is anything about that homosexual?
No, but then my idea of what's homosexual and what's not is
right. Being with a guy is homosexual.
Not necessarily to me, actually. I feel like I know gay guys and then I know straight guys who have done
Gay things,
but they're not necessarily homosexual. You know what I mean? Like, I don't necessarily find it. I feel like homosexuality is about more than just sex. It's about a relationship you have. It's about about a lifestyle you have.
If you had sex with guys, but mm-hmm. did not have any relationships or care or feelings for them,
you could still be a homosexual, sure, but then you could also be bisexual, or you could just be a heterosexual guy who gets turned on by
men.
Or by just sex, and you're so amped up or so sex. You're just like, let me try this. It's just another skin. It's somebody touching me. It's a feeling that I have. And also, it's an experience that if we weren't taught to, like, you know, take it like if you're gay, you're a step down or that's it, you're gay. If you do a sexual act, like, you're gay.
Yeah.
Then I think most people would be like, what does this feel like?
Exactly.
And like, it's more stuff happening to you.
I like it because what are words? You know what I mean? Let's just have fun.
Yeah.
English.
We don't have to categorize everything. But also, right. I know gay guys that have had sex with women and still do, but they are gay men.
Like, and what's funny is people will go, yeah, he's gay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like, they would never do the inverse, right?
Right. So, like, we ask gay guys, you ever slept with a woman? And then we're like, oh, that's funny. Ha ha. Like, it was weird and whatever, you know? Or even if it was good, it was like, yeah, but it's not what I want. We're like, yeah, you're still gay because you're gay.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you do a gay thing, you're gay.
Yeah.
But if you do a straight thing, like, I don't know if you can really cross over into this territory. That's straight shit. You have to be really clear on straight shit.
And the only reason why I haven't beat off a man before is just because there was no need to. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we had women there, like, to play with us. Right. But like, you know, if it came down to it, I wouldn't have a beef. Like I said, whenever you're ready, Keith, we can get down.
Thank you. You were never...
Oh, he's separating from his wife too. I think this is really nice.
You weren't tempted being coked out with another guy?
Not really tempted. No, I mean, everything was up for grabs. But I mean, at the same token, you also know your boundaries with another person. Like if you're having sex with someone, especially like, I mean, like he and I were friends, so I know where he... Right. wants to go and where he doesn't want to go.
He wouldn't be able to handle it. He gets a piece of the kid, right?
I don't...
He's got to go on with his life the next day. You kidding me?
I don't know if he would be able to handle it, but I just know that that's not what he wanted. You know what I mean? Like, to be totally honest, like, if that's what he wanted at the time of my life, I probably would have done it.
You ever jerk off in front of another guy?
Oh, yeah. Well, I've jerked off in front of him before, yeah.
That's so funny. It's funny it didn't come up. But how many times are you like, hey, we're jerking off now? Or like, is it at the end of a movie?
So usually there's probably porn playing. Yeah.
You watch porn with another guy.
Yeah, definitely.
And then who brings his dick out first? Because is that a moment?
When I'm in a sexual situation, my clothes are off immediately. Like I get naked immediately.
But do you
really? I like the idea of like things
undressing.
Undressing and that being part of it, or sliding things to the right, or like popping things out of things, you know, like playing peekaboo during the, like, so taking clothes off is like, like, okay, everything's, you know what I mean? There's like a mystery to like unbuttoning buttons, you know, halfway things off, that kind of thing.
Yeah, but I'm bringing out pizza and Narusa is taking his clothes off. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, it just got sexual, it's I got, see.
But see, that's what I was there to do. That's what we were meeting up for. That was our whole friendship. You know what I mean? So it's like, but like stuff like that is like a more intimate thing. Like, you know what I mean? Like me undressing someone or undressing myself, it's more like, okay, if I'm with a woman that I'm like, I really like you and I want this to be intimate and hot, yeah, then we can do things like that.
Oh, interesting. I see it more just as like part of the sex, and it could be not intimate because it could be like, you know, me revealing something because I still have clothes on and then slapping you for even looking at it. Do you know what I mean? So that's, I don't know how intimate that is, but
interesting. Yeah. That's kind of hot. But
would you catch each other's sperm in your mouth for fun?
No.
Just like a manly thing? More manly today?
Not really.
Okay.
Just to see who has better like mouth-eye coordination, yes. Basically. Like, right. You know, like how good were you at sports? Right. Like, can you catch this? Yeah, no. No.
Bottoms up. It's even give me time. But.
All right.
Okay.
One strike, you know.
It is interesting to see what Keith would be like as a gay guy. Like, wait, you guys don't, hold on a second. You haven't thought of,
I'm just trying to find out where this line of not being gay ends. All this was done on drugs, it sounds like. Are you still?
Yeah, for the most part.
Do you still do coke?
No, not really, no.
Do you still have these adventures?
No.
It's interesting.
Sadly.
How did you do coke and have sex parties? Isn't that a cock killer?
You know what? I mean, maybe that's why I don't do it as much anymore. But I was like, this was like end of college, right in between comedy, kind of at the beginning of comedy. I was a young, strong, stout dude. I could do a ball and still get hard. Now it's a little different, I think. But I haven't really tried.
A ball, you mean a ball of cocaine. Not,
yeah, like an eight ball.
Not dick and balls.
No, Keith.
Right. No, I'm new to this.
You're so excited. I love it so much. No, I'm talking about 3.5 grams of cocaine.
Okay. Now, would you also sell coke?
Yeah, I sold coke for a while.
Did it get dangerous?
I thought never get high on your own supply.
Yeah, that's a very good rule. That's a great rule.
I'm broke now.
You should totally follow that rule.
I see why it's a thing and that everyone says.
Yeah.
What made you quit?
What made me quit? Well, I actually started doing comedy while I was like selling coke. And I was doing all this other stuff.
Oh, not at the exact same time, though. You're not passing out baggies on stage.
No.
Okay.
But my first time going to an open mic, I was actually dropping off a bag of blow to this chick. And then she, as a joke, had written my name on the open mic list.
Funny.
It is funny. And so then they call my name from the stage and I'm flipping out.
It could be the cops.
Yeah. And I'm like, what the fuck did you do? And blah, 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 blah. And she's giggling. And then I think it was like Eric Andre was hosting the mic. And I go up there because I'm just like, I'm not going to fucking run. And then I go up there and I'm thinking they're like, you know, I don't know, something embarrassing. And then he's like, he hands me the mic and he's like, yeah, so do your thing. You've got 4 minutes or something like that.
So you didn't know you were at an open mic?
I didn't know what was going on.
So when you got handed the mic, were you like, okay, I'm just going to talk?
Yeah.
What'd you talk about? Hey, I'm just her coke dealer. So.
Oh, I wasn't laughing. I was like, what the fuck is this? I was serious. Like, I'm here to fucking, I was crazy and young and thought I was invincible. And I was like, yo, I'm just here to drop off coke to this fucking snow bunny over here. And yeah. That's what happened.
I'm not going to back away. Picture he's walking in a hospital and somebody goes, doctor, come here. And he's like, I'm not walking away. So I'm messing with your spleen.
You know what? Back then, I wouldn't put it past me, actually. Who's that kid in Florida who like has been pretending to be a doctor for like 2 years now?
Do you miss drugs or cocaine specifically?
No, not really. Not really. So I smoke a lot of weed still.
What made you quit?
It wasn't like I didn't go to rehab. I didn't like quit. It wasn't like a moment that changed me. It was just life got busier. I you know, I became a little bit more popular in comedy.
Was the money good?
Fuck. Oh, wait. From coke? Yeah, I thought you'd been comedy. I was like, fuck no.
Okay, so that's got to be hard to give up.
Yeah, but then at the same token, so this is what happened. So
doesn't Pablo Escobar say, work your hours and make your job you?
Does he say that?
I think so.
And I haven't seen that infomercial.
Work your, or Uber. And it's work Uber. Your own schedule.
I think that's Uber.
Okay.
So I was running around dropping off stuff, and then I found myself in between drop-offs, pickups, and re-ups that I would go to an open mic and I would, you know, I started writing jokes and like talking about my day and like really becoming like a hobbyist in comedy. And then I found myself doing that more than actually ringing up. And then I found myself spending the money on doing blow with other comics and drinks at the bars. And then I found myself not having enough money to re-up. And then I found myself just doing comedy.
Do you still have money saved from the coke days?
Not anymore, no.
Okay.
No.
How much is cocaine?
It depends. When I first started selling, I was getting it at, 20 to 25 a gram?
You think that's enough to jerk off in front of another guy?
Now? No. Yeah, now that's like a quarter gram.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And then, yeah, you can buy like right now a gram. It's still going to be dirty because it's like New York, so it's not going to be great. But, you know, I'd say probably a decent gram for like 75 maybe.
I heard there's I forget the country, but they give out some kind of little cards that I guess have a little razor at the ends for citizens to chop their coke because people are getting hep C from taking in too big of rocks in their nose.
Really?
Interesting.
Yeah. That's a thing?
Yeah. So it's almost like a needle program that we have. They're like, oh, we want you to do a clean. Please don't. But if you are, we're the government and here's a way to chop your coke up.
It's so funny how much the government will admit and how much they won't. Like, you know, you're going to admit that there's a right way and a wrong way to do coke and you're going to help out with that, but you're still going to lock people up even though that's not necessarily how you clean anything up.
It's a big scam.
I would be scared being a dealer every single, and I know they need you, but you don't know who's fucking with you. And every single drop off, I'd be nervous. You weren't?
No. When I first started doing it, I went to New School. So the only people
you had so many customers.
Yeah, right. Like, so the only people I was selling to were like little white girls and white boys. Like, it wasn't like,
this is one of the bougiest schools in New York, am I right?
Yeah, it's one of the most expensive colleges, private universities in the country. So it was just like, I wasn't really scared to go to Chad's fucking dorm, you know.
Right. Would you notice that dealing drugs to the white people, would you notice like, luckily you're scared of me because I'm black. I'm obviously in charge more because I'm black.
Are you saying, did I relish in it?
Or maybe did you ramp it up?
I definitely ramped it up. I definitely ramped it up because this is how I actually talk.
How would you talk?
You know, I was a little bit more greasy, a little bit more Northeastern.
Give black us some. Dude. Come on.
Hey, yo, where my money at, man? Hey, yo, how much you want? What? Hey, yo, hurry up, man. And shit like that. Just a lot of short blurts. And, you know.
And that's exciting because I have coke and I thought I almost died. Like, it's a real roller coaster in this van.
Yeah.
I sold drugs a couple times, but it's weed. And I do feel like selling weed and selling coke is different. And I just did it because my husband was doing it at the time. And I was like, let me go up this time. I want to see what it feels like. So I go up and it has to be different than coke so much because people are so nice. They're saying, I'm scared every time, but I need to do it. I want to understand it. And I come in and they're like, oh my God, do you want water? Do you want to smoke with us? Yeah. Like, well, are you hanging out?
That's actually very similar though. Cause I mean, they would always be like, hey, do you want to do a line or boom, boom, boom. And,
I feel like, and you stayed, if I stayed in the school, I feel like that's why you got that. But did you ever sell outside of the school? Because coke is such a dangerous drug.
I mean, obviously, like, so offshoots happen, right? So it's like, oh, okay, can I give my friend your number? And then you start, you know, hitting up places that you don't really know. And so, yeah, that's a little frightening. But then again, also, I've always been kind of a fake tough guy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I've always kind of looked for situations where, like, I have to test how brave I could be.
Did you ever have to fight?
Not over that, no.
Anything, any weapons, anything look scary?
No.
Okay.
No.
It's funny that you quit, though.
Yeah, like I said, it just kind of floated out of my life.
But you are a fighter, though. We were talking beforehand, you were talking about your temper and how you have it more in control now, but it seemed like such a smooth-selling situation because even with a temper, you weren't losing it.
Yeah.
So what makes you lose your temper?
What makes me lose my temper? It's usually men. And it's usually, there's a thing that guys do that's, it's like a condescending thing.
There's a sexy movie on, you take your dick out and they're like.
Well, see, I wouldn't punch you for that. Okay. I would be like, oh, so you want to have a party. Okay, now I get it. But But no, like, you know, guys are just, I mean, they're all, we're all, you know, have this toxic masculinity in us, right? And we're all trying to prove to our dads that we're not punks, you know? And it's just like, I, every time I run into someone like that, because like, I'm very much like, hey, like the last street fight I got into, I beat up this guy in a like a corner store. And like,
now corner store, there's usually when you're at a corner store, you're making an in and out move.
Yeah.
And it's like hard to believe that somebody would get on your nerves so hard that that's where you're getting a fight.
Yeah. I mean, again, it was totally avoidable, but it was supposed to be an in and out move. That's exact. Yeah. Thank you, Hemna. Like that, it's supposed to be an in. So I'm going in to just get like some roll up and like to get out. And this guy, he's a little drunk and he's just like, just kind of taking his time and like blocking everyone from the window thing. So you can't like, you know, order your thing or whatever. And so I tell him like, dude, either order your thing or get out. Right. And then he's like, da da da, something, 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 yada, yada, yada. You can't tell me. Boom, 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 boom. I'm like, okay, man, I'm not going to talk to you again. I got to get my shit and I'm going to go. And then he said something else to me and I was just like, oh, word. And my thing, and don't do this, but I mean, this works, is you look away a little bit. And then when you look back, you just clock them.
Oh, I'm noting that. I've never been in like a real fight. I've, you know, pulled some things and pushed some things, but whoa.
Because that throws them off for a second.
But why punch? Wow. Why punch? Yeah.
Why punch?
Okay.
I mean, thank you. Yeah, okay. You and my therapist, everyone is trying to figure this out.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, there is no real need. I could have just been patient. I could have, you know, I don't know. I'm sure there's lots of different ways I could have handled it, but I felt like he was trying to punk me, and I felt like, you know, my original request wasn't that much of a beef. And I'm like, if we're going to have all this, then I'm like, okay, I don't know him. We didn't go to school together. I've never met you before. I don't know how to have a civil conversation with you right now.
I'm not joking, but do you hate men on a level?
Yeah.
Because that is not an you started that.
Yeah, probably. Yeah no, I do.
It was polite, like, really, you're going to tell a New Yorker to get the fuck out of your way so you could pay for some shit? Like, we don't know why we're all here. I don't know why you're here. You need me to move.
I do. I mean, yeah. I mean, I have so many stories like this. I think Andrea might even know this story. But like, I used to live in Jersey City, and I lived off the Journal Square PATH train, and there's this big escalator. And I was coming off the train, and this guy was with his girlfriend going up the escalator, and he just kept looking at me, and I don't think he even...
No, he didn't.
I know.
Why? Do you think... Keith, he probably wanted his penis, right? Am I right?
So
did he look like Keith was looking at you right now? Because I think...
No, then... See, that's a very nice way to look at me, but he had like a scowl, like something was wrong. And so I looked down at my phone, and I looked back up, and he's still looking at me. I looked down at my phone, and then I said, yo, what's your problem? And he was like, don't worry about it. So he turned his head like to his girl, like, ha, 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 I'm tough. And that's when I grabbed him by his neck and I choked him until he passed out, and his girlfriend and everybody screamed. Yeah, I just don't like men.
Huh.
That's another reason why I can't be gay.
Now I get it. Now I get it. It seems
I would beat up my boyfriend too much. It would be domestic violence.
Wow. So honestly, he started that one, but you escalated it real quick. You did what he wanted you to do.
Yeah. So that's what I work on. It's just like, you know.
What are you thinking right before you choke him?
Oh, nothing. I mean, like, right before black. I hit someone, I just go black. People say this go red shit. I don't know what that is. Like, I don't feel any emotion about it.
Go red means Indian.
Okay, yeah. Well, I don't want to get into, you know, dissing the
the
native.
Being black, is there a thing with the, let's say, gay activities that you do where it is more looked down upon in the black community? Am I right?
Sure. I mean, I think that is looked upon. I mean, I think that society in general does have a very big taboo with homosexuality. And I think that too often we promote this myth that in particular the black community has it. But I mean, I think it's everywhere. But sure. I mean,
there's no difference.
I think that it's Christianity. I think it's Abrahamic religions that encourage this, you know, spite for homosexuality. And it comes from tribalism. It comes from, you know, these original families trying to continue to control land and control power and pass on whatever wealth they have, and they needed progeny. And so therefore having, you know, casual, fun, recreational sex is something that they had to, in my opinion, they had to deter people from. And so when
why doesn't this get you as mad as wanting to punch Keith? Do you know what I mean? Like, that guy had nothing. He was looking at you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He looked at you, and don't get me wrong. I know how he was looking at you.
Yeah, yeah.
He meant it. Yeah. He wanted you to do it. You were responding to that. But Keith is making fun of, let's say, homosexuality right mm-hmm. now. Mm-hmm. And he's joking and, you know, all this stuff. But there's a perpetuating thing about it, right? Mm-hmm. You know, why aren't you getting mad now?
Because, number one, if the dude had just called me a fag or something like that, I wouldn't have really been upset. I might have laughed it off. But it's...
Why? So why not fag?
That, you know what? That doesn't question my masculinity.
I see.
Right? Like, what, you know, all these jokes about gay stuff. Like, I mean, I'm totally honest. Like, I've told many, many people what I've done. And I talked to my dad about this shit. Like, I'm not at all emasculated by my...
What does emasculate you? What's on the list? Why looking at you emasculates you?
It makes me feel small. It makes me feel inadequate. It makes me feel like you think you're better than me.
I do need to know what people are looking at. And when you don't tell me what they're looking at.
Yeah.
You are doing an open mic.
Mm-hmm.
There's this fat white dude. He likes to harass comedians, right?
Yep.
Gives people hassle. And he gave you hassle on stage.
Yep.
That turns into a tussle. What happens?
Yep. He does this. And so then I tell him, I think I told him to leave or something of that nature. And then as I'm telling him to leave, he puts his hands on me to stop me from like escorting him out. And so then we get into a little tussle. And then when we get outside, so then again, it happens again. So I'm like, okay, you think you can beat me? And so that's when I was like, all right, let's fight. Like, you know what I mean? Let's do it. And he didn't really want to fight. He called the cops and all this whole thing.
This is why people need to go to open mics, right? You don't get this at Carnegie Hall. That's no, a snooze don't. Fest.
Yeah, yeah.
But here, you take people, you got to rough them up. You take them outside. He calls the cops mm-hmm. and makes a point of saying a black man is harassing him.
That's right. He said a black man assaulted me. That's what he said.
Wow.
Yeah.
And he shows up to other comedic events? He has balls to do that?
I met him at Karma, I think it was, and he was a dick then, but I didn't...
At Karma.
At Karma, of all places.
It's called Karma.
And this was like maybe a year before, maybe a few months before he came to my mic at the time. And but he was a dick then, but I didn't have any stake in the game. And he wasn't actually harassing anyone in particular. He was just kind of an asshole, didn't have any jokes, and just seemed like a prick. And I'm like, you know, in comedy, I've been doing comedy now for going on like 9-10 years. So it's like, you meet a lot of that. Like, you know what I mean? There's a lot of fucking weirdos, a lot of people that, you know, don't really have social awareness. So I was like, whatever, I threw it under the bus.
Right.
But then this time, it was my space. It's a space that I'm responsible for the people there. I have to report back to the owner of the venue, you know.
This one makes the most sense out of the three fights that we heard.
Probably, yeah.
And my question also is, men seem to emasculate you. Can women emasculate you?
This is a complicated question.
Have you wanted to hit a woman? No judgment.
Have I wanted to?
Yeah.
Yes.
Have you gotten close because your temper is just that of a reaction place?
No, and this is why. Because there's a bit of misogyny in me that a woman can't, you know what I mean? Like, she's, I don't know if I want to say this out loud. I've never really said this out loud. She's weaker than me.
Physically.
Physically, yes. And so therefore, I'm not intimidated at all by a woman. So usually, if I get upset enough where I'm like, you know what, I want to fucking knock you out, I just walk away. Because I'm like, there's nothing she can do to me.
Is she emasculating you, though?
Is she emasculating me, though? I don't really think so. She's upsetting me.
So she can't emasculate you because she is female and only men can take down men.
Now, I hate the way that sounds. I hate the way that sounds, but yeah, it's probably.
But I am weaker than you. Not all women are going to be physically weaker than you, but on average, I'm going to be weaker than the.
Andrea could probably kick my ass.
Andrea can kick fucking a lot of people's ass. So yeah, that doesn't mean you underestimate everybody, but yeah.
Interesting. What if you took one of these bags that you punch, what do they call those? Punching bags.
Thank
you. And we get there.
And you bring it into the room where you're fighting with a woman and you just keep punching that, but look at her. And then she gets the gist.
You know, it's funny. I had a punching bag in my first apartment, my boy Jay, and yeah, I would punch it, but again, like, I don't really want to hit her. What I want her to stop talking to me. Like, that's always been like, I'm just like, I just want you, just shut the fuck up. And I, you know what I mean? Like,
do they know sometimes? Like, you're not going to hit me. Fuck you.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And that's why I just leave. I just leave the room.
You brought up your dad. What's he do for a living, or what did he do?
He's a sociologist, a writer, and a professor.
A professor?
Yeah.
Whoa, look at this. And your mom?
And my mom, she is a manager of young women.
She runs a brothel.
Yes.
Look at this. How young were you when you knew this?
15.
And were you ever in the brothel? Do you see these women?
Yeah. I mean, just about a year ago, I had moved out of my apartment and stayed there for like 6 months.
Does it make it hard at all to respect women or understand women when you see at a young age women are prostitutes?
No. I mean, I think if you really know sex workers, then you respect them even more.
Okay. At 15, I wouldn't know anything.
Oh, but also my father, his field of sociology is sex, drugs, and
he has a pipe and he's explaining mom to you. You know what I mean? So, by the fireplace.
So yeah, so you know, explaining, you know, what that whole world is really about. And so I have the utmost respect for people that work in those industries.
Have you ever had sex with one of mom's employees?
No.
Okay.
No. Don't get high on your own supply.
Right. Right. Okay. Sometimes you follow it. Sometimes you don't. Okay.
I would think that you would more have easier disdain for the men coming in, first of all, because you have something about men, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe develop there because they might have come in with this respect for these women that you found respect for, mm-hmm. that are giving them this, what you call an intimate thing. Does that have anything to do with it?
Yeah. I mean,
did you respect the men coming in?
No, but not for the reasons I think most men don't, or most women don't. Not because they're paying for sex. I think paying for sex is probably one of the healthiest things you can do.
I think we've all paid for sex.
You know, in some way, shape, or form, right? But it's just the way...
I would so fucking pay for sex.
Yeah.
I would, if you could really do what you're supposed to do, like, I would pay for you like I would pay for a doctor. Like,
yeah,
you can't, you know, I'm going to need insurance because I can't pay that much. But if it was just... like part of my insurance plan and I was single and I needed to just, the people who don't allow themselves to masturbate, who don't have sex, you know, because of this, that, and the next, like you said,
they're fucked.
I mean, you need that. Like I could see just having a friend just going like, we're just going to get together to take care of this thing for ourselves. And then we're just going to keep being friends. Like, how do you not release that out?
Yeah.
Pay for it if you have to. Just respect that other person is at work.
So that's my thing, is that a lot of, in particularly men, I've never interacted with women purchasing sex, but I have seen men, and they treat them like, you know, worse than a piece of meat. You know, they probably treat a piece of steak better sometimes.
And they savor it. They're just like, I can't believe I have this steak.
Yeah, you know, and this woman who's providing this service is taken advantage of, or taken for granted, and you know, and just treated, you know.
What did you see? Like, what kind of disrespect could they show in front of another dude already? They are going into another room.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, the way they might give the money, or the way they might speak to the woman, or
in what words, what terms, what,
you know, bitches, and just. I don't know. Just
disregard.
Just a disregard. That's what it is. I can't give you a direct quote, okay. But yeah, just a disregard.
Any of mom's clients ever get beat up?
Not by me, but
what? I assumed.
I know, right? Yeah. That's what I thought you were getting at, that Keith. No, not by me. And times when I have gotten heated, my mom's, you know, she comes, she calms me down, she says, "Nehru, you know, this is a business." And the third, I'll ask him to leave or whatever. But then that's another reason why I couldn't really stay there, because I'm like, you know, some of these girls, even, you know, they're being paid for some level of disrespect, you know, and maybe my moral standards are not what the fuck is going on here.
This, like,
is
it's none of your business.
None of my fucking business. Yeah. So So there's that. And then,
yeah, like you don't go into regular offices and go, excuse me, I know that you're the boss and that's your secretary, but you can't speak. Like, you know, that secretary would be like, excuse me, I work here.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, he slaps my tits and calls me high booty all the time. Like, right. Okay, well, that's your biz. You know right, what I mean? Like, right. Whatever. You know what I mean?
There was never a bouncer that had to do something?
No. She had a guy who worked there for a while, but just the presence makes a difference.
Right.
Then when I was a little kid, I worked for what's called Mommy Speaks No English, which was like a rotating brothel. And this is before I knew my mother managed.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So your mom had no connection to this?
Had no connection to this. And I was like.
And she wasn't surprised, like, maybe he knows something. Ask her about this.
She wasn't really in my life like that at that point. Like she was all over. I think she was kind of a working girl too. So, anyway, I worked for this place and I was like this little kid. I was like 12 and I would collect like all the weapons and give each like client like a card from like a deck of cards. And then they would give me the card back like a coat check and right. They could pick up their knife or their gun or whatever. Oh.
And you're and you're 12 years old.
I'm 12. But I mean, there's bigger dudes there. It's not like it was a ring run by little kids.
And you're working for somebody
I was working for this pimp. And
your mom's okay with that?
She didn't even know. Like I said, she wasn't even around. Like she wasn't even aware. Yeah.
This is, never mind the prostitution. This is bad parenting, right? Like my parents would find out that I was working.
Did you grow up in Harlem?
No. Was it that?
Yeah, it's that easy. It's that easy. Especially in like, you know, early 2000s, late 90s. Like, yeah.
And now, do you look around Harlem and cry the way people look at Times Square and cry? They're like, this used to be a place that I can jerk off in front of strangers. Now it's a Burger King.
It breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. It breaks my heart so much.
I used to get stabbed in Hell's Kitchen, and now there's an M&M store. It's nauseating.
I was stabbed on 114th Street. And
you miss it.
And I miss it.
When it was pure. Now it's fucking Walt Disney all over the place.
Now you're getting Zika from Whole Foods and shit. It's weird.
Now I can bring my family and not die.
Well, see, that's another problem. You don't belong there. No, I'm kidding.
What'd you get stabbed about?
Selling weed.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Oh, and this goes back to the domestic violence thing, right? So I was selling weed before I went to college, right? I was like, I took like a year off or whatever. And I was selling weed and this guy who lived downstairs from me wanted me to, want to buy an ounce for me. And he bought the ounce.
Oh, like, you were selling that big?
Yeah, I was selling like weight. And then he bought the ounce, which is how I had enough money to go into the coke biz. But anyway, he bought the ounce and then, he didn't have a scale. So he's like, hey man, could you bag it up for me? So then I bagged it up.
Like you separated it in order for him to
sell it as nickels and dimes.
That's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. Now, and we'll get to that in a second. Okay. So then I come down with the bagged up ounce, which by the way is more illegal. You know what I mean?
Because
it means that you have intent to distribute and sell. If you just have an ounce, it could just be for recreational use. If you have a good lawyer, you can fight that and you're white. But I went down there with this bagged up ounce and he is beating on his girlfriend.
When you walk in?
Yeah. And so I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? And
what kind of like straight up just fighting?
I hadn't seen him hit her like with a clothes fist, but I'm pretty sure he did. Mm. And right when I walk in, the door was like open, like, you know, and what, cause I guess she was trying to leave anyway. And so when I walk in, he's like over her. I'm like, yo, what the fuck are you doing, man? You know, whatever, boom, boom. And he's like, yo, da da da. She's, you know, blaming it on her or whatever. I'm like, I don't really give a fuck about any of that, you know? And then, she meanwhile calls cops as she should. And the cops come.
Fuck.
Like.
While you're there?
While I'm there.
Oh my God.
And also I could have just left the bag and gone, but I wanted to make sure that nothing else was going to happen, at least today. I know it probably happens every day, but not today, right? And so I stayed for her for that, and then the cops come in, and now I'm freaking out, right? Because I have this fucking ounce bagged up in my book bag. But I also, you know, I still do, but I, you know, back then I even looked even younger. So they were just like, oh, who's this little kid coming from after school, you know?
You do look young. How old are you?
I'm 33.
Oh my God. Yeah, you look really young.
So yeah, so you know, back then I was like, I don't know, 17, something like that, and yeah, so I looked like 12, and then, but then the cops take him, right? And they were there for this domestic violence event. So they didn't check my bag. They didn't ask me any questions. Well, they did ask me like what I was doing there. And I said some superhero shit. I was like, well, I just heard something and I just wanted to make sure everything was okay. And then
I heard something and they let me in the house.
And so then I was like, I'm a neighbor and I was, you know, whatever. And so then I go upstairs and so he was locked up for like a month.
Wait a minute. You go upstairs in your own house? In his house?
No, it's the same apartment building. He lived on the first floor.
I see. Okay.
And I lived on the fourth floor.
Okay.
So I go back upstairs where I just come from bagging up his butt that he paid for. But
do you hold it for him while he's in jail?
So that's the thing. I held it for him. And then I'm like, yo, what the fuck am I doing? I ended up selling it. So
did
then,
he give you the money for it already?
But he gave me the money for the ounce. And so then he gets out and I give him his initial money back. But he wanted the fucking profit.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Ha.
Yeah. And I was like, dude, nah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm keeping it. But he's like, but you sold it, right? I'm like, yeah, because it was already bagged up. Like, what do you want me to do? Just like, what are you talking about? And so, again, it probably was a more civil, political way to handle it. But I was like, dude, I'm not giving you shit. I gave you your money back. If you don't want that, then we could knuckle up. So then we went downstairs from the building. We fought. Boom, 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 boom.
Now, wait, what happens right there? It's like, okay, I will knuckle up. Let's go.
Yeah.
And then you leave like gentlemen.
Yelling things, not gentlemanly, but yeah, sure. And we walk downstairs. Like, I mean, I wasn't going to hit him in the back of the head and like knock him down the steps. Like, right. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a little couth.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, we go in front of the building and like we square up and, you know, just start hitting each other. Boom, boom, boom.
She calls the cops.
No one calls the cops this time. I just, you know, I bing him a couple times and, you know, I caught him in his nose. And when you get hit in your nose, your whole brain starts to rattle and flash, yeah. Right? So he panics, and then there was like a broken piece of gate in front of the brownstone. And,
oh my god!
And he put it inside me.
Oh
wow!
Yeah,
wow! A broken. I would sooner be stabbed with a knife because yeah. That sounds
yeah. Plainer. Yeah. Do you have?
I have a scar.
Yeah.
You want to see it?
Yeah,
I do want to see it. And did you get a tetanus shot? You're gonna get lockjaw any day now.
Well, this was a long time ago. Okay, but, I can show it to you.
Sure.
We're going to take a picture of this. If you have our app and you're listening in the show, you could just click right there and the picture will be right there. That's not bad. Come on. Stop being such a puss. Sit down.
I mean, it was bad when it first happened. But, of you know, course. It's been, you know, 10 years.
How many stitches?
13 years. I ended up getting like, I don't know, five, something small.
And how many different stories do you have for that scar? The war. You, for being a sexual guy, you went today to give sperm, right? Uh-huh. How much do you get each time? $50?
Assuming well, they haven't paid me yet.
Okay, if they take you, if you got swimmers.
What I read was that I can make up to $1,000 a month, depending on how many times you deposit.
So you can only deposit with them. You can't masturbate. You can't have sex otherwise because your sperm won't grow.
Yeah, I haven't been able to ejaculate for the last 3 days.
And is that?
Well, I have been able to, but I'm not supposed to ejaculate.
So do you think you will be able to only ejaculate for them and make your money?
Yeah, I mean, but there's still time in between where I can have sex.
There is?
Yeah, I mean,
you're not making $1,000 if you're fucking on your own.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. I haven't done all the math. So you could catch me in being fucked up here. But I think what my plan is to deposit like 2 to 3 times a month.
Okay.
And so that way it's only about, 9 days that I don't, like I have to be abstinent.
Okay.
Yeah. And
just 3 days every time you deposit.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. So it's not like I have to like be absent the whole month.
Is it kind of a fun idea to do it? Like, would you recommend this to guys specifically? Like, don't do it for 3 days. Was there something different? I mean, you were in a clinical environment jerking off into a cup, I assume, today.
Yeah.
So, but was it different? Did it feel different?
No, I mean, like we discussed, I've masturbated in many a situation.
Yeah, maybe this one's exciting because it's so stupid.
Yeah, you know.
Because now you're by yourself and how sexy is that?
Yeah, I mean, and then there's also something kind of, I don't know, something hot about going into like a midtown, you know, business building and
everything's clinical and you're like, look what I'm doing in your office.
Yeah, you know.
You're talking to the walls, yeah. Did they give you a video, porn mags?
I use my phone.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Oh, that's true. They probably don't even bother now because I've did.
They updated since you deposited.
I did this once, and then I was like, you know,
oh, it was like magazines and shit.
They get in dirty magazines. I was surprised, meaning Cherry.
Oh no.
Oh yeah, with the, you know, five chicks fucking each other on a washer dryer. That kind. Yeah, they went hardcore.
Okay.
I walked in, no joke, with a New York Times and a Wall Street Journal. I'm like, I'll just use these. You know, I want to make sure I get accepted. And I'm like, you know what? Bring your magazines. I'll see what you have. Pip, yeah. Pip. You know. And then I thought, okay, it's not worth, I can only come here. That's the way I took it. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to abstain until the next visit. And I'm like, I'm going to
Oh, no, that's not the way it is anymore.
Well, yeah. They have new technology.
Yeah, I think so.
I'll look into this.
Yeah. Is you're dating someone now, right?
Yes.
You're exclusive?
Yes.
Is it a transition to be exclusive or it's just another thing that you're doing? And is your girlfriend, is it important to be on a certain sexual level in order to be monogamous? Or to just have sex in general?
I mean, definitely sex in general. I don't know what you mean by sexual level, though.
You have a history of sex that a lot of people don't. You have experiences that a lot of people don't.
Yeah.
And that comes with a certain level of heightened sex, I think, when you're with any partner,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm. Well, number one, I mean, she's really fucking hot. So there's that. That helps. But
nice.
Do you feel like you need to get kinky?
No.
On a level that other people can't match.
No. And so the answer is no. And I think also that comes from, like, I feel like I've never felt any shame or anything like that. And so then when I did do a bunch of stuff, it just, at a certain point, I was just like, this is just kind of boring at a certain point. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this isn't, because kink to me, when I hear other people talk about kink, it's usually like, oh, it's so dangerous and shameful and dirty and all this stuff. And like for me, like today, masturbating in an office building was like, you know what I mean? I was like, well, that was kinky. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? But like in general, no.
It was a place that accepts sperm, right? You didn't just pick an office building. Okay. I donated and you put it in. And they're like, we're a library, sir.
Yeah, no.
Do you guys go to sex parties just to have sex maybe in front of people or?
No, I have done that with girlfriends though, but no, not with her. And we actually had a conversation about it. And I told her I didn't really want to with her because I selfishly don't really want to see someone else touch her.
Because he would be fucking in these sex clubs and you have to look at people and go, what are you looking at? And it turns into a to-do.
There is a level of, I don't want to see her enjoy someone more than me.
Okay, so there's a different feeling with this woman.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does that scare you?
No, it doesn't scare me, but it does make me happy. You know, it excites me. Oh.
Right, children?
She's never going to listen to this podcast.
Dear Keith and Kemda, I'm male, 24, straight. I give a 40 ounce of shit about this. Oh, this person cares. I don't know who to tell this to. Well, definitely us with microphones. I feel very weird writing this, but I want your opinion, so here it goes. I met my 23-year-old cousin for the first time last weekend. I was very surprised to find that I am attracted to her. And I know that she's attracted to me also because we almost kissed. I know that this sounds strange as fuck, but what would it be terrible if I slept with her? Listener of 9 years, Patrick. What do we think?
I think it would be terrible because you're already judging yourself. I think you just met your cousin. I think it would be more weird for your parents probably because I have a brother and that's, I guess, you know, my brother's kid. Do they need to know about it? Are you having children? Because I don't think you should.
Mm.
Do you need to get out of your system or do you just need to not have sex with someone you're attracted to?
Is this a first cousin, did they say?
I'm going to assume it's a first cousin.
Okay, because I've had sex with a second cousin before.
Okay, that's fine when you're past the first one, right?
I think, I don't know. I mean, she was hot, so it was like,
what are you going to do?
I don't care how far removed. 10 feet was fine for me.
who's what is this?
This was on my dad's side.
Like an aunt's blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, like, but it was like extended family. So it's like, yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a blood relation in that way. But she was my cousin, like legally in family.
We're all from Adam and Eve,
you know? You know what I mean?
It was like did any of that taboo get into your head?
But it did, though. It definitely did. And I mean, even to this day, I'm still even talking about it right now. I'm a little bit like, who is going to hear this and then be able to put two and two together about that year?
You know was it more than once?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
More than five times? Dirty dog. Okay.
Were you concerned that you were actually into her?
I was. And yeah. I think I did fall in love with her. But see, I had been in love with her since before she even liked me. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I had been in love with her since we were little kids. And then...
So was that like a thing, like, you guys would have to come out, right?
Yeah.
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 Were you worried about that? Did you start doing that?
I think I told my dad everything. I think I told my dad...
Was he? He's a sociologist. Does that help?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he just, you know, he writes about and goes and, you know, into these crazy worlds and just... So he's like, you know, there's nothing I could tell him and he's going to be like, you know what I mean?
So what does he think about it? Should this person sleep with their cousin?
He loves it. He's like, let's do another reunion, son.
I think if it's a first cousin, I'm a little bit more hesitant because I'm like, okay, you're going to have a lot more to deal with there. But I say that, like, you know, I don't think you should deny your urges, especially if she's into it. You know what I mean? Like if you're both kind of like, let's see what happens. Keep it between yourselves and do what makes you feel good.
What do we think about sibling fucking, assuming everybody's over 18?
That is a little bit different. I think that's I'm a little bit more taboo about that.
And you know what?
What?
You're correct.
Okay.
Very good.
I think psychologically that's different if you grew up together because it means that you are muddying your relationship with someone and we do operate like that in our brain. That's what I think. But ultimately... If you're not having kids, I don't give a fuck what you do.
Interesting.
Yeah. Interesting. Your psychological issues are probably not deeper than anybody else's psychological issues. That is marrying someone, hitting them, raping them, whatever. Like, don't have kids because you're going to pollute the water.
Yeah.
And I don't give a shit.
All right. Let's get to
I'd rather not my kids do it, though, but I'm never going to have kids. So there I am judging again.
Well, that's how you stop them from fucking their siblings. You never have kids.
Mm-hmm.
You
don't work.
You don't have siblings that have children. This is a gentleman named Pootie Pie, PewDiePie. He is the number one. He's number one in YouTube. Has the most subscribers, 53.2 million followers. And he came out with a book, has a couple projects, but the main money is from ads that come on his YouTube channel when he plays video games. Mm-hmm. This is real money. He's a millionaire. Mm-hmm. From video games.
So many people like watching people have video games. They like watching people unwrap things. They like watching people, you know, come home with a shopping spree and show them all everything they got.
His real name is Felix Kjellberg, Kjellberg. He made news some time ago for 9 videos that included audio of the Nazi party anthem, swastikas, a sign reading death to all Jews, and a man saying Hitler did nothing wrong. The videos prompted Disney's YouTube arm, Maker Studios, to end its partnership with him. YouTube's paid subscription service, YouTube Red, canceled his series, and YouTube removed him from the Google Preferred ad program, but he still works with other people, and he's still making tons of money. Mm-hmm. He has more subscribers, like I said, and views than anyone on YouTube, earns $15 million. So you could still have ads on regular YouTube, whatever YouTube Red is, earned $15 million, making him the highest paid YouTube star. The bulk of the cash coming from YouTube. He's likely to make $7 million this year, except he got caught in one of his videos saying the N-word as he's playing video games.
So that's where the line was? All that other shit wasn't the line?
The Jew thing, he's like, I was making jokes. Here's my joke, the Hitler anthem. Just a little joke.
The Jew thing had commas. He was playing music. Mm-hmm. There was a couple other things.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just...
Not that one is worse than the other, but like, this is the line?
I mean, my line was at the Jew thing, because that's when I heard about it.
Right.
And I just heard about this, him saying that.
My line was at the Jew thing, and I had to just learn video games on my own. I am in no way supporting any kind of hateful attitudes. I think of the content that I create as entertainment and not a place for any serious political commentary. Okay. I put out pro-Nazi videos. You take from it what you take from it. Where are the trains going? That's on you. Trains are moving. Where they go, that's your story. Well, audio just came out of him playing a game, and he says the N-word, and then he tries to cover it up going, I just meant asshole. So you know is how he talks all the time.
But that in itself is like...
Right.
What a fucking nigger. Jeez, oh my God. What the fuck? Sorry, but what the fuck?
He meant it.
Yeah.
What a fucking asshole. I don't mean that in a bad way. Jesus.
Yeah, he meant it.
Why would he do that? Legit, why would he do that?
And then there's the video, and we'll see if this affects him. Or the people aren't going to care. Like, they didn't care about the Jew stuff. Who knows?
People don't care. There is enough people who want to hear and say that word. There's enough people who hate Jews. This is the thing. Like, when people go, oh, this will ruin his career, it's like, we just found out that a bunch of white people can hold torches walking down the street and not get tased or have gas thrown on them and still have go back to their jobs. And if they lose their job, another white supremacist will
hire them. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like white supremacists aren't in high positions in this country. It's like, this will get him more work on average.
Yeah.
Like on average, he's going to get more work than you.
The Washington.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The Washington Post is saying he claims when he would promote Nazism, it's to mock Nazism and how ridiculous it is.
He doesn't even know the word satire. So no, he doesn't get it.
And this, of course, there's no way to defend it, is what the paper's saying. He posted a video saying there are no excuses. You probably won't believe me when I say this, he says, but whenever I go online and I hear other people use the same kind of language that I did, meaning the N-word, I always find it extremely immature and stupid. Yeah, that's not what I think when I hear the N-word. I don't go, you're talking like a baby. And I hate...
I think a baby would sooner understand what the... Like, I don't get it. It's just a word. I'll keep using it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know what? Use it in front of people, not just behind your fucking computer.
Yeah.
Go to Harlem
yeah.
and use it in front of people if it's just a word.
Yeah.
I always find it extremely immature and stupid, and I hate how I now personally fed into the part of gaming as well. I got sucked into the immaturity.
But you also used it in a specifically negative connotation, right? Like, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like, even if you meant it as asshole, yeah. why is it that nigger means asshole to you? You know what I mean? Like, I mean, and I can get into that, but I'm not going to, because there's no reason to, you know.
That's the thing. It's all the things that we're all thinking. No, it's not that. It's this. There's a history of violence. There's a history of slavery. There's a history of not apologizing. There's a history that's still with us. It's in the present. It's looking like it's going to be in the future. It's not over. It's discrimination. It's Black Lives Matter. It's no, white lives don't matter. Like in the same, that's not a, it's like all that shit. But at the same time, when I scale back, I'm like, okay, we have a shorthand for it. We just go, that's dumb. And we know all of that stuff that I just said. Mm-hmm. What do we do about people who don't? What do we do about, do you know what I mean? Like, we are ignorant of some stuff. And I'm not like, of course, this is, you know, just fucking learn it already. I get that.
Sure.
But what do we do when, like, if you tell a joke that I don't like and it's about women and I'm like, God damn, do I always have to come up to you? Do I always have to teach you? Can I get mad at you? Can I just go shut the fuck up? Is it going to help you? So it's like really just.
I do think a discourse needs to happen, right? I do think to an extent, right? But I also think that the discourse between sexuality and gender is one that I think needs to happen right now more often than not, because these are new concepts for a lot of us, right? We're just coming out of a very strong patriarchal society, and we're just moving in to a more gender fluid society. And so these are new concepts to people that I do understand people might need an update. You know, like we even had a conversation about your husband, right? And like, you know, what are the gender pronouns that people are okay with and or identify with? I get how that conversation might need to happen. But this shit about race and about, you know, religion and about, you know, nah, B, we've been having these conversations for about 10,000 fucking years, dude. Right. So if you still don't understand how, as a white person, you have white privilege and how your use of racial slurs, especially as a white person, especially as a person who is not in any way an ethnic white person, or at least doesn't prescribe to be, how that is hurtful and how that is upholding white supremacy. If you still can't understand that, I call bullshit. I think that you're being willfully ignorant, you know, at this point, in, at this day and age, about those particular things.
When you hear racial hate speech and it's defended by saying free speech, these people are inherently racist, right?
Yeah.
Just by definition.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's also not free speech if it's violent, right? Like free speech is like a joke or a memoir or like, you know.
Free speech is where everybody gets to feel free while it's being spoken.
Exactly.
It's not just the person saying it. Free speech is not me going, you're a fucking asshole for being this, that, and the next. No. It's just, oh, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah, that's not free speech. Yeah.
If you're curious what PewDiePie looks like, and we'll put this at keithandthegirl.com, he looks like he would have been at the Tiki Torch March.
Oh, yeah.
Just fine. Do you remember Dr. Phil had on one of the guests, Daniela Bregoli, the Catch Me Outside girl?
That's her name.
She would, right, we thought she was Miss Catch Me Outside. Yeah. she would steal cars, you know, vandalize cars, and she's on Dr. Phil saying, you know, she's 14, by the way. Mm. 14 years old, and she'll do whatever she wants to do. And she even threatened to fight the whole audience when they gave her the boo, respect your mom.
When we hear all this, don't you go, this poor little kid.
Yeah, I do.
My God, what would it take at 14 for you to talk like that and be like that? There is some pain.
And some issues.
Yeah. And how, like, are we not responsible for this 14-year-old?
Actually, we're not, though. Like, I do find it to be amusing. You know what I mean? Do I feel bad for her when I first saw the Dr. Phil show? Yes. But then after I saw her and Dr. Phil and all these other corporations capitalizing on it. For instance, she has like a music video out now.
Is that her fault, or is that Dr. Phil and the music video producers and things like that? She's still 14.
Sure, but then...
If we're telling her she can't vote, mm-hmm. she can't make decisions by herself, she mm-hmm. has to say when she's coming home mm-hmm. to her parents, then we're not giving her full responsibility until we're giving her full responsibility for this. So when do we give her full responsibility?
I'm not saying that I necessarily blame her. I do blame whoever is responsible for her, but I don't find it to be our responsibility to not consume it. You know what I mean? Like, for instance, like I'm not consuming the NFL right now because of the Kaepernick thing. That's my responsibility that I've taken on because of that issue. Now, her life and the fact that her parents kind of raised a thought is not my fault. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
not fault.
Yeah. You know.
Okay, but who is responsible? Her parents are responsible.
Her parents are responsible.
Course, yeah.
You know?
Talking about Kaepernick for 1 second. Uh-huh. And of course, in my last album, I said what he did is nothing short of being a superhero. However, is there something to be said with him not being hired by any NFL team? Mm-hmm. Obviously, we're looking at because he was the main person, if not the first person, to take a knee during the national anthem. He happened to be on in the quarterback four, the worst team in sports. Do we ignore all that? He was the worst team in sports. I don't want him to quarterback my apartment.
See, I think that's harsh because, I mean, look, I'm more of a basketball fan, so I might not be the best to quote on this, so you might catch me in a lie, but I'm pretty sure there's at least 5 quarterbacks that have had worse stats than him and have never gone to the postseason that are working right now as starting quarterbacks.
Okay.
So that right there.
Done. That's all I need.
Okay.
But I'm going to watch.
Shit, I could have said the same thing. I don't know this for a fact, but right. There are worse.
You might find out I'm wrong, but he's actually great and the rest of the team sucked.
To be honest, he did seem more informed than I do, so you got this.
Here's the Cash Me Outside girl on Dr. Phil at the time.
Did you say the hoes are laughing?
Yep.
So the audience are a bunch of hoes?
Yep.
That's Dr. Phil's fault.
Huh?
Catch me outside. How about that?
Catch you outside? What does that mean?
Now, by the way, how something becomes a meme, I will never know. No. How did catch me outside become such a thing? And who goes, hey, guys, did you see this? Catch me outside, she kind of says, instead of catch me outside. Mm-hmm. Love it. Retweet. Where did that even come from? It's not even like it's so clear.
I'm pretty sure it was like Black Twitter, someone making fun of the fact that a white girl was saying this black phrase.
Oh, is she white? I've never seen this before. So this is all new to me, and it's on Keith's computer.
Yeah, she's white trash. Yeah.
Catch me outside. How about that?
Huh?
Catch me outside. How about that?
Catch you outside? What does that mean?
What I just said.
Catch her outside, and she'll go outside and do what she has to do.
Oh, you really cleared it up, Mom.
Right.
Good job.
And why is it that you can speak eloquently and your daughter can't? You know what I mean? Like, what is going on there? So that's
who's raising your kid?
Who's raising your kid? Obviously, you're letting your kid be raised by, you know what I mean, social media and whatever else, you know?
She goes by the name Bad Babby or Bad Baby with H's, BHADBHABIE. It's kind of like your name. It's tricky. And her song, like you said, is from Atlantic Records.
Mm-hmm. Wow, Atlantic. I'm looking at you.
It's called These Hoes, HEAUX. So she has a brand. And announcing the signing, the global vice president of A&R at Warner Music Group said, without a doubt, this girl is a real star with undeniable talent. Again, 14. The youngest female rapper ever to appear on the Billboard Hot 100 charts. So they're not saying this song is like Friday, Friday, Friday. They're saying this is a real thing. Here's her new song. Let's take it in.
I ain't nothing like these hoes. Don't compare me to no one. Money green like a C-Lo.
Trash.
Okay, now I don't know half those words, so you tell me. Do we? What do we think?
That shit is trash. Okay. I mean,
You know, she probably didn't write the song.
No.
She probably didn't come up with how her voice is going to sound on it. She probably didn't do anything. It's a copy paste.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely was auto-tuned anyway.
Yeah.
You can hear that. And then on top of that, the D's Hoes thing is just the same thing she originally said on Dr. Phil, and they've just kind of
incorporated it.
I remember recording dance music, right? And so dance music is usually for like kids, mm-hmm. you know, club kids, and I was recording stuff like that. And I was a kid. I was around 18 or so, and I was still like in and out of clubs a little bit. And the guy recording me was 35. He was, and to me that was old at the time. And he was writing the music, and he was writing the songs, and it was just this bubblegum nonsense. And what I realized is, all these little kids who are singing little kid songs with sexual content in them, there's an old man behind it.
Yeah.
You know, and of right. course 35 is not old for us, but 35 is old when I'm 18 and thinking, I was singing Take Another Hit of My Love.
Oh,
you know
wow.
what I mean? I didn't do any drugs at the time. I wasn't even drinking. I wasn't doing anything. And I understood, you know, what I was saying. It's funny, you know, and nothing happened to me. And this guy was awesome. And he paid me for everything. And everything was very professional. It was just very funny to me that a 35-year-old, and he was a nerd. And he knows he was a nerd. He was an engineer. Mm-hmm. So he was just like, this is what children are singing. And then when you see on a higher scale, that was a very small scale, on a higher scale, it's like, when Britney Spears first came out, she didn't write that. She didn't choreograph that. She has it in her. 16-year-olds have that much sexuality in her. I definitely was that sexual. You know, I definitely would have sung that. It's definitely fun.
You don't think she had to wonder what she did again? What she's apologizing for?
But like, Hit Me Baby One More Time. You know what I mean? Right. That's how we, like, that's, you know, that's just also a dumb lyric.
Yeah, it's also a skill set, right? Because there's ghostwriters that know how to write these ballads, know how to write these pieces, know how to write for the genre, for instance, right?
But picture the guy. He's in his office.
He looks like you.
Don't you
yes.
wish?
He looks exactly like you.
Your girlfriend.
But with like dorkier clothes on.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Was hot like me.
Right.
And he's like a chain that the Migos gave him that he doesn't know how to wear. Like, yeah.
The Catch Me Outside girl says, hey, Kylie Jenner, fuck you.
Why not? She's invincible now.
I'm the new star. TMZ said, do you know the trouble you're creating? Fucking with the Kardashians.
Worried about Kylie Jenner coming back at you?
Who's she gonna come back at? Bitch, ain't nobody scared of her.
But I'm just saying, like, she kind of runs Hollywood.
Bitch,
you know?
I'll whoop every Kardashian ass there is.
Are you worried they could blackball you from the entertainment
Who
business?
Who gonna blackball me from what?
But they might. They might say, hey, don't, you know, tell other people, don't do business with her. She came at me. You're not worried about it?
Fuck her. Fuck you. Fuck your mama. Fuck your whole clique.
She's right about that.
I hope, you know, when Kim Kardashian want to do something with you, you know, that they're cool with it.
Do something with who? Ain't nobody want to do nothing with them. Fuck them.
She's right about that. And he's a grown adult going, did you see the way she can look at you? Did you see what she can do? Did you consider that you could be fucked up by these adults? Quiet. Yeah. She's a child.
Yeah.
We shouldn't even be concerned about her opinions on this shit.
No.
And you shouldn't be counting it like these other people rule all of Hollywood. You shouldn't be giving Kylie that much fucking credit.
I mean, we can all say that TMZ is a bunch of trash too. But I mean, I have to say though that it also, it puts a lot, it puts fear in my heart that like someone who is, because I mean, yes, the point that he's making is obviously bullshit to instigate this reaction from her, right? At the same token, the fact that she can't even conceptualize that things can happen, that people can be blacklisted, that relationships do matter in this industry, means that she's not old enough to really partake in this business yet.
Of course, but that's where we started. It's like you said, it's like, of course this person's racist. Yes, we're talking to a 14-year-old all day now.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. So yes, we started there. So now she is in Hollywood. TMZ is treating her like everything else. And she's in the mix. It's not like they're concerned about her.
No.
Hey, are you concerned that you could lose your career, 14-year-old? And also, let her lose her career if she hits a good bottom, like a bottom where she gives a shit afterwards, she'll be fine. But it doesn't, but obviously in this head, she will not. Absolutely not.
You think there's a chance we'll see her at 24? Can you imagine that was the outside girl?
There was always a chance. There's always a chance. I've seen people get off crack and become, you know, doctors and like people I would leave my kids with. Like, absolutely, people can change. This one, she's deep. So she's deep in it.
I'll see you in 10 years.
I was going to say, though, that I think fame and money, though, are the worst drugs that America has ever produced. And so, you know what I mean? Like, and there's no real rehab for that shit either. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you, there's a lot of councils and meetings for, you know, substance abuses and other conditions. But like,
wow, you're right. Less people get out of that than they do out of crack.
You know?
You're right.
If you're caught by police with coke on you, do you go, we're talking about coke, we're not talking about fame?
Actually, I do. Actually, I do.
The real killer?
What are they here for? They're fucking talented.
If someone steps to you,
she fucked Ray J and now she's famous.
If somebody steps to you on this flight, the last time they were talking about your mom, you had to step up. Are you gonna keep your hands to yourself this time?
I don't know.
You can't make no promises.
Nope. Catch me outside.
Yeah, he's just instigating.
Yeah,
he's trying to get Catch Me Outside out of
exactly.
him, out of her.
You're right. You're so right.
Yeah. Narutha Williams. I said it perfect, by the way.
Narutha.
And you're wrong.
Okay.
By the way, you didn't help at all. Like, how does that help? What Kendra just did. She just says it. Like, oh, okay. No one tells me if I'm right or wrong. They just keep repeating. Anyway.
Do it again.
Me? No.
I'm cringing. Okay, go ahead.
What? Okay. Narutha.
Yes.
That's dead on.
I'm gonna respond to you.
What is you say?
Narutha.
No.
Okay.
Okay. How about you pay attention? All right. Well, Mr. Williams has a website. And thank God it's his name. NarutaWilliams.com. Naruda Williams.com. The Twitter account.
You didn't get Narutha?
Just by itself?
Yes.
No.
Wow.
I mean, I'm pretty sure some, you know, Pablo lover has gotten it.
Damn. Yeah. When'd you get on? I got Chemda.com.
You did?
Yeah.
Nice. I just got it though. So I just got the domain link. I don't know.
I think I got mine like almost 20 years ago.
Oh,
so
no,
I guess
no,
that's
no,
why.
No.
Yeah.
No.
The Twitter account is at Black Jack Kerouac. Mm-hmm. Black is spelled without the K, and Kerouac you have to look up. So this is a good account. Like I mentioned, the Harlem Comedy Festival, that has a proper.com, harlemcomedyfestival.com. It is September 23rd to the 30th, the only black comedy festival in the world.
That's how you were able to get Harlem Comedy Festival.
Yeah, that's how. Yeah, that's how that. That was easy. Yeah, like, I'm like, oh yeah, you niggers want to be funny? Go ahead, we don't care.
Now
.com.
.com. Yeah, they actually sent that. They were like, you want niggers want to be funny .com? Because we have that.
Yeah. What kind of shows are you putting up?
We have. Look, we have.
What qualifies to be a black show?
I have what my experience is with a lot of comedy festivals that I've either been to or been a part of is that they'll have one minority showcase that is just an
and that's because
umbrella.
It's a roast and we gotta get some black jokes in.
Yeah, like it's just an umbrella of just anybody with a tan is on this show, you know. So what I wanted to do was I have two main showcases. One is an all Latin showcase and one is an all black showcase where all the comedians there are either Afro of the diaspora in some way, shape, or form. And when I say the diaspora, I mean Caribbean, South American, black, and Latin American. I don't think Latin American is getting to say anymore, though, right? I think that
you don't
that
think what?
Latin American is not what we should say anymore. I think it's like Chicano or something like that.
Latinx is something.
Is that the next thing?
Yeah. It's like the, instead of saying Latino or Latina, you make it gender neutral. Yeah. Latinx, yeah. I've heard.
But also, I've heard a pushback against Latin itself because a lot of Spanish, I mean...
I guess you're going to have to ask at your festival, aren't you?
So we're going
to
figure that out. But anyway, so
sounds like I got to talk to your dad before I go to this festival. I don't know what's happening.
How did you know who to submit? Like, wait, Latin? I don't know.
So the showcases are booked, right? The showcases are like people you've seen around on TV, people who have a bit of a reputation. Those people are booked on these showcases, and there's two of those. And then we have a Martin Trivia Brunch event where everybody gets to like answer questions.
Give us one question. This is from the show, Martin.
Oh, well, I don't know the questions. I don't know the questions. There's actually an outside group that does this all over the country, and they've gotten really popular, and especially in like ATL, Chicago, DC, or whatever. And so then they contacted me, and I was like, okay, yeah, let's do that for this brunch.
That's awesome.
And then we're doing a snap battle. Rather than like this white people have like totally fucking ruined roast battle. Like, you know what I mean? Like Rel started this in Comedy Store, right? And it was like really dope and really cool. But now it's this thing that just feels so coffee shop-ish. Like where it's like, you know, you sit down and you learn about the other person, then you write a two-line joke about, you know, the worst things that they invited you to know. And it's like, but it really stems from, you know, in the hood, when like you're in front of this corner store, you're on the stoop or you're at the cafeteria, whatever, you're just snapping on this dude's face or his shoes or whatever. Like, and it's like, I know the funniest people I know don't do comedy. They just sit around all day and stare at people and point out their flaws. and so I had a bunch of comic friends come in, all comics of color come in, and they're going to be on the list, and they're going to snap on each other in minute rounds. And we're going to have a sign up sheet for the audience.
So do they know who's going to be on the lineup yet?
They don't. So well, they'll know who's going to be there, but they don't know who they're going to be facing at whatever time.
So you're trying to get them to do as little work beforehand as possible?
Very little, right? And then it's going to be like a very spontaneous, like off top type of thing, off the top of your head type of thing. And we'll have a sign up sheet for audience members who think that they have what it takes, which is what makes it really fun, because it's like, oh, okay. Whenever I'm at a show, but I'm a comic, but like I think even when you're with a regular person, when they're at a show, they're like, oh, I think I could do that. But with stand up and improv and sketches, you need experience. But with this, it's like, well, you think you're witty and funny, you're going to come up and face someone that's on stage every single night.
That sounds awesome. Holy shit.
So we're doing that.
I'll go up. I'll make them catch me outside.
That's right.
Yeah.
We're doing that. We do every year we do a competition, a stand-up competition, which is submission. And so that's people of every race and color. There's white people on that, you know, whatever. I don't make that's what it is. Yeah.
I don't have to prove who my mom is.
No. We don't need a genealogical chart. Nothing.
Speaking of Atlanta, do we still say A-Town?
I never did say A-Town.
Hmm. Okay.
I said ATL. I said Hotlanta.
Hotlanta. Okay.
Okay. All right, Keith. We're doing a mystery Blaxploitation 3000 thing. So it's like Mystery Science Theater, except we're showing Shaft, and I got the rights to screen Shaft at the festival. And we're going to have three black comics come in front of a live audience and make fun of Shaft and, you know, the whole Blaxploitation thing, because it's really crazy looking back on it now. And then we have a finale event where I'll have a bunch of black and improv teams of color come and perform, because I feel like that's really important. Like when I was a kid, when I thought about, I mean, obviously I didn't even think I would ever be a comic, but when I thought about stand-up comedy, or when I thought about comedy entertainment, SNL, all that stuff, you asked me, it was like, oh, you got to be Eddie Murphy, or you have to be Richard Pryor, or you have to do stand-up. I don't know how that works, but you have to do that to do that. And then now I look back after going to UCB and being on improv teams and performing and being like, the feeling of being the only black person in that room was fine. I was kind of used to it. But at the same token, I'm like, yo, improv is something that we naturally do in our culture and our community all the time. And we play characters and we do impersonations and we do all this stuff. And yet if I asked like a kid nowadays, what is improv? A black kid in Harlem, what is improv? They wouldn't be able to tell me. And the closest thing they would say is maybe Wayne Brady. And they don't realize that improv is a great tunnel and funnel into doing entertainment, doing comedy, because maybe you don't write jokes. Maybe you don't want to be a stand-up. And I don't feel like a lot of youth of color, and especially in the urban areas, know that improv is an opportunity that they can do.
All right. Did you hear that, audience members? You can run up on this show too. Just get right on stage. You're funny too.
When I see a black festival, or this black festival in particular, it's the only one.
Yeah, I was like, how many have you seen? Yeah.
Will you code switch for me so I know what's going on, or will you be dropping tips with bangers?
I think you just code switched for me. Look, I do code switch. I definitely do it, but I don't really do it for like white people. Like I actually do it for my own people. Like, you know what I mean? Like I'm like, turn down the guy that, you know, teaches improv. You know what I mean? Like turn down that dude and, you know, become more of the guy that, you know, you used to be. So yeah, so there's that. So if you are going to attend, I mean, I think it's going to just be a black event. And it's, you know, we got a chick named China hosting one of the shows. Like, you know what I mean? Like, she's just a local rapper.
And she's not Chinese.
And she's not Chinese. Look, and she spells it with a Y.
This is exciting. I'm in. Oh, well, thank you very much,
Neruda Williams.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend. KeithAndTheGirl.com.